You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 7 March. We've got U.S. unemployment data at 3:30. Expected, no change at 4%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Jimmy Muyaha. First round results, man, cost to income, 48%. That's astounding. But general weakness in SA Inc. results, well, maybe not, because Sunlam came and shot it out the park. Roy Bagatini from Woolies. I particularly want to focus on fashion and beauty within Woolies. That's been their pain point. Thoughts from me on what to buy for your tax-free account. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Capitec slashes interest rates on large, lazy balances, but for most consumers, it pays a decent rate on its transaction account. Business Day, current account deficit falls as exports surge in fourth quarter. Higher net gold exports, the biggest contributor to larger trade surpluses, the Reserve Bank. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 1.8%, NASDAQ down 2.8%. The Easter's mostly red, Sydney down 0.6%, Tokyo off 0.8%, Hong Kong up 0.4%, and Tencent down 0.6%. Commodities, all red. Gold futures, 2,912. Brent, 69.66. Platinum, 980. Palladium, 950. The Rand, 18.13. Bitcoin, 87,500. Top 40 opening call, 3 points to the red, which is, frankly, we can all go home.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Jimmy Muyaha. Jimmy, appreciate the early morning time. We are thick in results coming through left, right and center. Yesterday was First Rand. We saw the same story at Nedbank, which is impairments, bad debts, markedly improving. I mentioned in the intro there, a cost to income of below 50% is just an astounding number. It was, by all accounts, a really good set of numbers.
Good morning, Simon. When you look at the banking sector in general, or even the financial sector in South Africa, they are doing exceptionally well. We did get those first round results. We also got Sanlam results yesterday as well at the same time, and we'll look at those sort of like for like in a bit. But from a first round perspective, I mean, the business doing exceptionally well, despite the fact that they still have the 3 billion rand provision that they've raised for their UK regulatory conversations that are still ongoing there, or investigations rather. But nonetheless, the business doing exceptionally well, growing both locally and across or outside of South African borders. They've really cemented their position from a South African perspective, and they know that they're not the biggest player outside of South Africa, but they are doing their bit. I mean, non-South African earnings, so kind of your rest of Africa and UK earnings add up to about 20% of the earnings of the business for the 6 months. The business has started the 6 months quite strongly, to the extent that they've been able to push up that dividend. And they're very optimistic about the next 6 months. So, I mean, any company that can kind of have a good, strong first half of the year and then still look ahead to an even stronger second half of the year, clearly is going to have a really good year. So First Rand really doing well at this stage. And I suppose we will have to keep an eye on what could potentially go wrong. I mean, they did flag, obviously, that they are still concerned around economic conditions and geopolitical conditions, but it doesn't seem like those are really big concerns at this stage for them.
Yeah, and if we look bigger picture, I was sort of by Wednesday with results, I was thinking, oh man, I'm not sure these are great. We saw poor results out of Cashboard and Kira. I mean, making money, but struggling. But then Spur comes out, then Suntam comes out, man, Sunlum comes out. Okay, Grindrod, yeah. But I mean, it's a bit of a mixed bag. Some of the sort of lower end or sort of direct consumer facing struggling. But we're seeing some good numbers come through in what is a zero growth economy with the consumer under pressure.
Absolutely. And companies are flagging this as well. I mean, like I said, First Rand flagged it as well. But the guys at Sunlum also said, look, the consumer has been going through a bit of a challenge. The economic growth is the big, big conversation at this point. Companies are all saying, look, economic growth is the one thing that South Africa can use to effectively weather the storms and the challenges of these global geopolitical challenges. But if we don't have economic growth, and then you still on the other side have the conversations that are happening with the US, the fact that South Africa is still going through the challenges it's going through from an unemployment perspective, all of those other things don't really look well, bode well for the country. But if there's economic growth, it does look better. And you're seeing that some of the sectors are performing a lot better. Some sectors have historically always been more resilient than other sectors, like your financial services sectors, particularly in South Africa, of course. And when you compare someone like a Sanlam, for example, with someone like a Cash Builder that both put out numbers this week, and you look at Sanlam's ability to have net client cash flows increased by 52% to numbers that are, quite frankly, rather astronomical and sitting at 54 billion rand, and revenues up about 6%, group new business up about 6%, north of 400 billion rand. That clearly shows you that some people are doing a lot better than others, and some companies in particular are doing a lot better than others. And you also start to see that trend carry through into the dividend, where some companies might not put out an interim dividend or might put out a reduced interim dividend. Other companies are actually increasing their dividend. And obviously for Sanlam, being able to deliver such strong numbers with double-digit growth pretty much across all metrics, that's allowed them to increase their full final year dividend. So yes, some sectors of the South African economy are more resilient or holding better than others. And that might be because they might be diversified outside of South Africa. That might be because they might not be as exposed to the consumer as other sectors might be, so they might be less reliant on that, or they might just have bigger balance sheets, they've acquired more businesses, they're just larger businesses in general.
Yeah, I take away. Quick last one, Grindrod, tough set of results. Some of it is because of the troubles in Mozambique post the election there. My sense is these are tough numbers, but they've still got a bright future. I mean, they can at some point they'll get rolling stock onto Transnet's rails. The Maputo port is a great backup for the failing logistics in South Africa. Good business, maybe just a rough spot they'll get through.
Yeah, I think definitely a good business. Definitely from a logistics point of view and a shipping point of view, they have got quite a good footprint. And I think the Mozambican challenges that they experienced were somewhat of a learning curve. So it's always nice to be able to go through a challenge like that, have it last as short as possible, have it have as minimal an impact on your business as possible, but come out of it realizing that, okay, strategically we now have, as you said, two different ports we can work with in two different countries. We can now route some of our business that way or some of our business another way. If these challenges are dealt with, we can definitely get things done. From a Transnet perspective, I mean, we saw Transnet putting out their media release around their wage negotiations with their staff. So Transnet's still working through some of their own challenges and trying to get through to getting everything back on track from their perspective. And it might take a bit longer than everybody initially anticipated, but you've heard the likes of Kumba say that they're in negotiations with Transnet to improve the service delivery or to turn things around with that business and just have better relationships from a public-private perspective. And that will only benefit guys like Grindrod. But when you look at where Grindrod is positioned from a logistics point of view, we know kind of what's happening within the African continent and South Africa's positioning in that space. So Grindrod, definitely a good business in a good market, just on the back of possibly a bit of a tough time at the moment.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Jimmy Mwaha, always appreciate the early morning insights. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Standard Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting with Roy Bagatini, CEO of Woolworths. Results for 6 months ending December, revenue up 5.7, HEPS down 24.8, adjusted diluted HEPS down 19.4. Roy, appreciate the time. Food division, the star in the performance once again, doing very well. Dash doing especially well. Dash off a lower base, but still growing almost 50%.
Thanks, Simon. Yeah, I mean, by the way, Dash grew around 70% last year and obviously just short of 50% this year. And that really comes from expanding the store network as well as the number of slots that we have available per store. We've also opened some dark stores, which obviously support the customer service experience better there. But very happy with the overall performance from Dash. In particular, I guess, the fact that it brings new customers into the brand. We have about 7% of Dash customers, which are totally brand new to Woolies, which is always great to see for a retailer.
Okay. How many stores is Dash working from these days?
130 stores at the moment, and it covers about 96% of the Woolies customer base, the total universe of the Woolies customer base.
Fashion Beauty Home had some internal issues with processes, some late supplier deliveries, a tough period for the Fashion Beauty Home.
Yeah, I think it is a tough period and unfortunate because the business has been progressing quite nicely with its overall turnaround. Mm-hmm. You know, we are getting product increasingly right. Quality, we remain investing in quality and getting the overall value proposition right. But we are up against a couple of challenges from an execution perspective on the back end of the business, specifically regarding the flow of inventory and some hiccups that we've had in our distribution center. Fortunately and pleasingly, those are now behind us. They have been resolved, but they did impact us at the most inopportune time, which was the December period.
I take your point in that. And to be quite clear, I'm not a retailer in any sense, but food is perhaps a little bit easier. I go to my local Woolies. I'm there to buy my usual staples and, you know, my food basket, maybe one or two things that are new. Fashion has inherently just more challenges, longer lead times, getting the product right. It is a much more complex business.
I mean, it is quite complex. And you spoke a little bit about the what we call our go-to-market sort of cycle, you know, from the creation of a garment all the way through to getting it made and then sort of commercialized and brought into the business, you know, through the supply chain distribution center and into our stores. And lots of complexity certainly comes with that. But, you know, good retailers and good apparel retailers get it right most of the time. You know, unfortunately, and very candidly, we hit a little bit of a snag, you know, in our last quarter, and that impacted our top line and also the overall customer experience, which in fact is more important to us. What I really don't like hearing is this "can't find my size" from customers. You know, it's the most frustrating experience to have. You find something, you really want to buy it, and you just can't get it in your size. And so that's really at the heart of the issue here for us.
In terms of style, I mean, is it a case of you're kind of leading the style in terms of, and you've got a long lead time, you're figuring out months, seasons ahead, what's going to be fashionable? Or is it, do you set the style or do you try and anticipate what's going to be hip and happening in the next season or three?
No, so in fact, it's a combination of both. And it also depends on what you define for yourself as your role in the apparel space. I mean, we don't see ourselves as the trendsetters for fashion. So we're not a fast fashion or a fashion forward brand, but we are really very focused on what we would call wardrobe essentials, the sort of stuff that when you open your cupboard in the morning or your wardrobe in the morning, 80% of the product there should be product that could come and should come for Woolworths. But what is important is that when you put it on and you wear it, you do want to feel somewhat stylish. You do want to feel somewhat on trend. You don't want to feel frumpish in a sense. So that is important. So our designers do take inspiration, you know, from all sorts of data points all over the world and then bring that into a process of creation and then go through the commercialization of that through the process. But it does take several months before the product lands up on the shelf.
Do customers almost move through your fashion, Brad? And I'm thinking, you know, what I wore as a teenager, as a 20-something, to now what I wear in my older years, that changes. I have sort of shopped at shops and then I move on from them at some point in time. You've got to constantly sort of bring new customers in.
It's very important to stay relevant, Simon. I mean, I think, and it's one of the challenges I think all brands have, you know, even some of the bigger, the most well-known, iconic global brands, you know, go through cycles. And the challenge for brand marketeers are, and obviously product designers and merchants, is to ensure your brand stays relevant. You've got to keep it modern without essentially moving away from who you are and what your core sort of proposition is. We're also, you know, as a retailer, when it comes to, you know, sort of the brand, you know, we have this remarkable Woolies brand, which does stand for everything about quality and getting that quality price sort of equation right is important. But we are a family brand in a sense. I mean, so we do have propositions, you know, across multiple categories for the family. And that really helps us. That plays very much to our strengths and gives us an opportunity to sort of play across gender and age groups and into different categories. If you're a single brand, lifestyle brand, your challenges are potentially a lot more greater.
Yeah, and that's a good point. As I walk through the Woolies clothing, of course, I go to what's for me. But as you say that, I'm realizing I'm walking through different sort of categories, ages, styles, etc. They're not for me. Yes. I carry on walking. Beauty did really, really well for you.
Yes, it's a great category. I mean, and it's a fast-growing category. You know, a lot of discretionary spend goes to beauty in the country, notwithstanding, you know, the macro context we find ourselves in. It's really quite interesting to see how this category is, in fact, growing. We've actually doubled our beauty business now in the last couple of years, and we'll double it again in the next couple of short years. Our market share is now well north of 20%. And, you know, what's really quite positive for us is that our store environment is arguably very attractive for the big beauty brands. So we have a lot of these international players and what we call prestige brands that are really sort of knocking on our door to sort of be part of our overall offering. And we are, through what we're doing, quickly becoming the sort of beauty shopping destination, I would say, in South Africa.
The lipstick effect, that you can, you know, when times are tough, a lady can still buy a lipstick and feel better. Is that a fair statement? Is beauty perhaps a little more resilient to tough times than perhaps fashion?
Yes, it is. And certain categories certainly are. You know, people may not go for the top end fragrances and so on, but they will still want to, you know, douse themselves in an acceptable fragrance that smells good. The other opportunity for us that we see, though, is the cross-shop opportunity with our food customers. So what we're seeing is our food customers and their sort of penetration, their level of support, their level of shopping with our beauty brands is significantly higher. And so we measure something called lifetime value of customers, which really takes into account everything customers spend with us. And we see that lifetime value of customers, the cross-shop opportunity between food and beauty, has been exceptionally high.
We'll leave it there. That's Rui Bagattini, CEO, Woolworths. Always appreciate the time. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for three decades.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Some thoughts for me on our tax-free accounts now that the new tax year has reset. The reset was, well, 1st of March, but practically it was last Monday. Monday, the 3rd of March this week. So it means that we can put another 36,000 Rand into your account per individual. You can do that lump sum. You can do it monthly. You can do it ad hoc. You can do it anywhere you want. Just don't do more than 36,000. And important, the limit only applies to deposits. I get asked all the time, I got dividends and now I'm over, or there's been growth. That's not a problem. The dividends occurring within the account, the growth occurring within the account, no problem at all. The limit is to deposits only. And of course, you can transact in the account as much as you want. You can buy and sell. You can do that a dozen times a day if you really want it. Terrible idea, but you certainly can. The question is what to get in. And I really go for a broad, diverse global ETF. I like the All Country World Index. We chatted around that recently versus just the MSCI World Index. All Country brings in some more emerging market, downweights a little bit on America. We've also got the Global All Cap Index, which is certainly what my preferred. Again, it upweights some emerging markets, which excludes Africa. So we're not going to get any more South Africa directly. We've already got, obviously, a lot of exposure there via our Reg 28. But any world, even an S&P 500, folks will look at all the chaos in the US at the moment. But the S&P, those companies, think of Apple, think of Microsoft, their clients are absolutely global. They are everywhere. So they are American companies, but largely global businesses. So we will get a slightly downweight in the EMs. I want a little bit of an upweight on emerging markets, on Europe, on Korea, Japan. Hence, I like the All Country World or the Global All Cap Index. Some folks will say, what about ETFs paying income, most notably bonds and REITs? And here, because of tax issues. So your bonds obviously are paying interest. There's an interest exemption, but if you are already exceeding the interest exemption, could be well worth putting some bond ETFs in there. And REITs distributions are ultimately taxed as income. And if you're in a high tax bracket, you can benefit from that as well. I typically don't want to go with a niche. I like to do broad ETFs, hence All World or Global All Cap Index, very much my preferred. That's our question today on LinkedIn and Twitter. Do you know what you're buying yet? I mean, we're only 7 days into the year, but have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. That's it for today. I was chatting with Chantal Marx yesterday around strong Spur results. The Doppio collection doing well, but I mean, across the board, I mean, just doing really well. And I got to say, I hadn't expected it. After we had seen Cashbuild, after we had seen Kiro, I thought Spa was going to be struggling, but nope, they weren't. And we asked you, Are you eating out more? Half said nope, budget is tight. A third said yes, about the same. The rest said yes, loving it. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and a review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again Monday. Trump presidency and big tech.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.